Dana Lewis, coming to you from London, and the podcast is Backstory with Dana Lewis.
President Biden says he seeks a predictable, stable kind of relationship with Russia going forward. Is it too dastardly to say that Vladimir Putin actually wishes for the opposite, a lot of instability?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't mean to be crass, but fat chance. I mean, I think President Putin, as you rightly suggested in your question, thrives on being unpredictable, on supporting rogue governments, on being the counterbalance and counterweight to American policy around the world. And I don't think he's going to give up on that. It's helped him. It certainly helps him at home domestically in the short term. I don't think in the long term, and we can talk about that. And it also makes Russia a player, because unless it can battle the United States, Dmitry, you know, Putin suddenly has to entertain Russians with harsh realities of the problems inside his own country. And I think he relies on America being a foe as a very good distraction. In the long term, the country's in trouble. They're in trouble economically. They have huge inflation. A large part of the country is living below the poverty line now. They were hit, you know, over the head by the pandemic like everybody else, but they were probably less in a position to weather that storm than some countries. They have huge oil reserves, and they've been pumping government reserves. You know, they're pumping oil like crazy, and they're building up their reserves, but at the same time, the money's not flowing down to people. It is a kleptocracy. People are getting poorer, more frustrated. And I think that the illusion that there's a democracy or any kind of democracy there went away with the arrests of Alexei Navalny and a lot of his supporters in the street. And, you know, here's an interesting poll. I was talking to Mikhail Kasyanov. Kasyanov is a former prime minister who served under Putin and then turned to be an opposition leader himself. And by the way, his political party, Parnas, has been banned now as well as Alexei Navalny. He says, recent polling says, half of the young people in Russia want to get out. They want to leave the country. That political repressions are that bad, that people feel their futures are that dim, that they're giving up on the Putin regime and leaving.
Does that mean that even a strong man like Putin can be overcome in a situation like that when enough people are dissatisfied?
You know, it's so hard to read the street, right? And I mean, I've seen revolutions take place in places, and you never know what's going to spark them and what is going to get people to really go to the street in anger. For a large part, I mean, the mentality of Russians is to stay below the radar. I mean, they lived in 70 years of communism, and there is a ironclad stranglehold by security forces, spy agencies, the police, over the citizens of Russia. So I think a lot of people don't want to take it on. They don't want to go to the street and demand change because they've seen that the penalties are too high. The people are losing their jobs and being blacklisted just because they went to some of these peaceful protests in Moscow and St. Petersburg and Vladivostok and across the country. So, you know, is there going to be an uprising? I don't think so. But look, you can see real worry in the Kremlin, and even panic, in some of the things they've done in the last year. If you take a look at the arrest of Alexei Navalny and the attempted murder of Alexei Navalny, that shows how panic-stricken they were by his anti-corruption movement, his ability to organize, you know, his 40 offices across the country. They are steaming towards the Duma elections, the parliamentary elections in September, and they are banning any kind of political opposition. I mean, even Kasyanov's opposition party is not that strong. Kasyanov, you know, tried to run for president at one point and was largely kept out of the race by, you know, being banned and his ballots being banned. But they've always allowed some kind of, you know, democratic rival to breathe at least. Now they're choking everything. What we've seen is a shift in the Kremlin, because there's always been the Soloviki, which are the strongmen, which are the spy agencies, the army. We've always seen them balanced off by political advisors who are maybe a little more progressive. But now the Soloviki has taken over by all accounts, and Putin is surrounded really only by these KGB types And the paranoia, I think, in the Kremlin is bigger than it's ever been.
So we're talking about a Russian leader who has a lot on his mind, a lot to worry about. Is there anything that Joe Biden can do to capitalize on that? We understand the meeting could last 4 to 5 hours with no meal breaks.
Well, you know, cut it in half, Dmitry, by 50% because of translation, right?
That's true.
So those meetings always take a little bit longer. But, you know, Biden can capitalize probably by understanding that Putin is in a sensitive position himself. He's not as tough as everybody makes him out to be. He has problems domestically. And I think that on issues like computer hacking and some of these other things, you know, Putin's entering an election year in his parliamentary elections, and they are very frightened about the opposition that may come their way. Biden has referred in the past to things that the U.S. could do seen and unseen. And I think the unseen probably rattles the Kremlin a little bit. But, you know, look, this is going to be a disappointing meeting. You know, brace for disappointment. I think that we're going to see maybe a little something on the bilateral side in terms of they may get some forward motion on discussing, regulating nuclear weapons, which they need to do because the START treaty was extended for 5 years, but they've got to start negotiating the next one now. There are all sorts of new weapons, hypersonic weapons and all of that sort that they need to get into and start regulating and take confidence building measures. They may try to restore some of the diplomatic relations. The embassies are largely closed. The consulate in St. Petersburg and Vladivostok, the ambassadors were recalled. I think you'll see some progress in that area. Maybe on some multilateral issues like, you know, some of the humanitarian issues in Syria. But largely the issues of rivalry are not going to go away. And President Putin is not going to change his stripes.
What are you talking about these days on Backstory?
Well, my latest podcast was with Mikhail Kasyanov, who I did a lengthy interview with, and we just put that up on Backstory with Dana Lewis yesterday, and you can find that wherever you listen to podcasts. But Kasyanov is a scholar in terms of he served under Putin. He was his prime minister for 3 years, and then he turned to the opposition, and he has great concerns about the future of Russia and believes that the oppression, the political suppression, is spinning the country dangerously backwards. And he doesn't believe that it will continue forever, but there are some dangerous moments to come in how the Kremlin is now driving people underground and taking very, very harsh measures from, you know, banning people, closing offices, arresting people, and it's just getting worse by the day.
I sure appreciate hearing from you again, Dana. Thank you so much.
Always great to talk to you.